Thank you very much, Barry, for that reading. Today we continue in our series of parables of the kingdom. The question we are asking is, how can I be right with God? As we examine that parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector from Luke 18. I've got a video here to kick things off. Let's hope that it plays. Mark, can I get you to take it to the video? Thank you.
Your attention, please. This is the final call for
LTE. Ever since I was a little girl, I dreamed of traveling to Nepal. My grandparents were missionaries here in the 50s, and the stories they used to tell were fascinating. I can't believe I'm here. Majestic than my dreams. The people are so warm and kind. It's nothing like back home where everyone just keeps to themselves. I love it. The culture is so rich. Everything is steeped with meaning and tradition. There's just so much to see and learn. The way I see the world is changing every moment I am here. We don't learn about this stuff in school, or maybe I just didn't pay attention. Grandparents always told us how hard it was to be a missionary. There are some places in the world that are difficult to share the gospel. But now that I'm here, I'm starting to wonder if sharing the gospel is really necessary. I mean, these people seem so committed, devout, happy. Do they really need to believe in Jesus? Such a hard time believing that they are. But then if they aren't wrong, I must be. Unless we're both wrong. I mean, how do I really know? Maybe we're both right, but only in part. Perhaps they have tapped into the mystery of God or the universe in a different way than I have. What if we're all on different paths, heading up the same mountain? We see different views, different landscapes, experience different aspects of this mountain. Yet in the end, we all reach the same place. This sounds nice, but is it true? I wish the world were that simple, but I don't think that it is.
How do I really know? What if we're all on different paths heading up the same mountain? Do they really need Jesus? Do I really need Jesus? Today's parable in Luke 18 tackles these big questions. So let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, please be with us now as we hear your word taught. Please teach us what it means to be justified before you. Teach us how we can be justified before you. Teach us what difference this makes to our lives. For we pray humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. So we begin with the target audience of Jesus' parable in verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. It's important that we understand the word here, righteousness. Righteousness is legal terminology. Back in the day, I used to watch quite a bit of Law and Order. Any other Law and Order fans? Yes, so you'll know the dun-dun. You know that, the Law and Order sounds. In particular, SVU, as the old crew. Every episode ended up in court, and we would wait for the judge's verdict, guilty or not guilty. If the person is found not guilty, they are righteous in the court's sight. They are in the right when it comes to the law, because they didn't break the law on a particular charge. Righteousness in God's courtroom is being judged in the right according to God's law. That is an extremely high bar, to be judged right according to God's law, a very high bar. Yet some in Jesus' day were confident of their own righteousness, in particular the Jewish religious leaders, in particular the Pharisees, who were zealous for God's law. So zealous were they that they added more laws around God's law, like a fence, to keep them from breaking God's law. Today's comparison would be super zealous religious people, whether that religion have a Jewish, Christian, Islamic, or Eastern flavour, like in the video, the committed, devout, happy Buddhist in Nepal. Do they really need Jesus? She asked. Luke gives us a hint of the answer to that question when he says back in verse 9, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. There's often a correlation between self-righteousness, that is, righteousness that I have earned by religious rule-keeping, or have innately because I'm a better person. There's a correlation between that and looking down on everyone else. To keep themselves up, or ourselves up, in our own estimation, religious or good people have to look down on others, as we see in the parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Clearly, the Pharisee is self-righteous, looking down on everyone else. Even though he thanks God in his prayer, he is only thanking God that he is not like other people, the bad people, the sinners. He reminds God of his good works in his prayer. He fasts more than is required by the law, and he gives 10% of his income to support the ministry at the temple, in particular the Levites, the priests, whose livelihood depends on the tithe. So he is ticking some significant boxes, and he reminds God of that fact. He goes above and beyond. In contrast, the tax collector stands at a distance, would not look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said those important words, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The tax collector knows that he is a sinner. The whole community has been reminding him of that since he went into tax collecting. Not only, as Helen pointed out helpfully, did the tax collectors collect tax from their own people, the Jews, they were doing it on behalf of their Roman occupiers. He was a traitor, despised by the people. And he probably despised himself for that too. Additionally, tax collectors were known to be thieves. They charged more tax than was required in order to skim off the top for themselves. They were cheats and thieves. Traitors and thieves, they were absolutely despised, the scammers of their day. We don't like scammers very much, do we? You know, the messages we get on our phone, the calls that keep coming in, the spam. We remember Melissa Caddick fraudulently appropriating tens of millions of dollars of investors' money. And many of those investors were friends. The tax collector would have been equally despised as the scammer. How does he approach God? Stands at a distance. He knew he couldn't approach God. He would not even look up to heaven. He is unworthy, but beat his breast, a sign of humiliation, a sign of humble repentance, a turning away from the sin that had stained, that had caused him to despise himself, and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He couldn't appeal to his goodness. He couldn't appeal to his righteousness. He was a sinner and knew it. He was unrighteous in God's sight and knew it. He couldn't approach God on his own terms. He could only approach God on the basis of God's mercy, God's term. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. We sinners who are unrighteous before God because of our sin, our law-breaking, we actually deserve God's judgment of guilty and his punishment of death and condemnation. That's what we deserve. That's what the tax collector deserved. That's what the Pharisee deserved, even though he didn't know it. But rather than giving the tax collector what he deserved, God heard his prayer for mercy. And so to the punchline, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. Now, we've heard this so many times, we are unmoved. But this should be like, what? What are you talking? Wow, this is unbelievable. The tax collector is justified, not the Pharisee. Surely it's got to be the Pharisee who's justified. He is the good person. He is the religious person. He is the zealous religious person, always keeping God's law, going above and beyond. Surely he is the one who is justified before God. How can the sinner be justified? On the basis of God's mercy. The tax collector did not earn his justification. God justified him even though he didn't deserve it. Here's another term. What is justification? It's another legal term. Justification is being declared not guilty by the judge, acquitted in God's courtroom. So the gavel gets banged down, boom, not guilty, acquitted, justified. How can a sinner be acquitted in God's courtroom? Isn't that unjust? A sinner is unrighteous. They are not right before God and his law. How can he justly acquit a guilty person? Doesn't that make God unjust, an unjust judge? Acquitting the guilty? Declaring righteous someone who is unrighteous? How does that happen? How can God do that and remain just? Well, these are big questions, and thankfully we have the answers in the New Testament, in particular in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. God is just because he punishes our sin in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus dies on the cross for our sin. He dies for your sin. He dies for my sin. He died for the sin of the tax collector. God is just. He punishes sin. And at the same time, he shows mercy to those who beg for it, to those who receive the forgiveness that God offers through the death of his Son. Our sin has been dealt with so we can have a fresh start. We can be justified and righteous in God's sight. Do you know what that means? That means that we can know for sure that we are right with God. We can know for sure that we are right with God because we are not depending on our own righteousness, our own goodness, our own religious ticking boxes, but the gift of righteousness that God gives us in Jesus. Jesus takes our sin and he gives us his righteousness so that we are justified in God's sight. These are such big ideas. I know there's a lot of ideas here, they're big ones, but they are important to explain because so many people are unsure if they are right with God, like the young lady in the video. They are unsure if they will be right with God in the future. You probably know people like this. I certainly do, even within parts of my extended family. There are very good people, quite religious people, but they're not certain, they have no assurance that they're right with God. There may be even people here today who are in that boat. They live their lives trying their best, they try to do the right thing, they tick some, if not all, of the religious boxes, whatever religion that may be, including Christianity. But they are focused on the wrong thing. They are trying to achieve their own self-righteousness. They are trying to be justified in God's sight by what they do. But that's not possible. Remember the Pharisee. Of all people, if anyone was going to be justified in God's sight by what they do, by their religion or goodness or good works, he would have been justified. But Jesus says, no, he did not go home justified. The sinner who begged for God's mercy did. The sinner who relies on Jesus and forgiveness and righteousness and justification does. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Humble dependence upon God's mercy in Christ. Let me spell this out in application. How can I be right with God? Not by my own works, not by my goodness, not by my ticking religious boxes. Religion doesn't get us to God. No religion gets us to God. Jesus gets us to God. We need humble dependence on God's mercy in Jesus. That starts with recognizing your sin, like the tax collector. You know, recognizing sin is hard for self-righteous people to do. Remember, they have to keep telling themselves how good they are. They have to keep looking down on others to prop themselves up. They can't acknowledge their sin. They can't acknowledge fault. They've got to keep this view of themselves, of self-righteousness. And in our day and age, to declare that someone is a sin itself. We are taught that people are innately good and it's bad social structures that need to be knocked down in order for good people to flourish. We're also encouraged to exalt ourselves, to put ourselves out there, to influence, to be an influencer. Pride is a virtue. But Jesus says, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled. So recognize your sin, humble yourself before God. Application two is to beg for God's mercy. That's the only basis on which we are justified and righteous in God's sight. Give up trying to earn it yourself. Know that you are a sinner, completely dependent upon the mercy of God, like the tax collector. And three, rely on Jesus for your justification and righteousness. Receive the gift. The tax collector went home that very day justified. He didn't have to wait for it. It wasn't something that God was going to give him in the future. He went home that day. Justification is present. In other words, this is important. You can know God's final verdict in the present. The tax collector went home that day justified. You can know God's final verdict on your life, the day of judgment, when we'll all assemble in God's courtroom for judgment. We already know the verdict if we're trusting in Jesus. Justified. You can know that now. And this, by the way, is why Trevor was so sure where he was going. He didn't think he was better than anyone else. He knew that he was a sinner, but he knew that he was justified by Jesus' death. That verdict assured him of his future. So you don't have to wait, worrying about the future, the day of your death, the day that you stand face to face with God in his courtroom. You can know his verdict of not guilty, acquitted, justified. You can know that this very day. By trusting in Jesus, receiving God's mercy and forgiveness in Jesus and his death for your sin and his gracious gift of righteousness, righteous in God's sight because you are clothed in Christ's righteousness. And fourthly and lastly, that brings about a radical change of life. Rather than being a sinner, living a life dominated by sin, you are now equipped by God to produce the fruit of righteousness. There is a change of life. There is a transformation of life. Given the gift of Christ's righteousness, empowered by his Spirit to be like Christ, loving God and loving people. Not just rule-keeping, not religious box-ticking, but freedom, joy, peace, and love. No longer serving self, like the tax collector, no longer obsessed with self-righteousness, like the Pharisee, rather focused on God and serving him and others freely. We don't know what happened to the tax collector in Jesus' story. All we know is he went home that day justified. But I'm sure that his life was turned upside down as a result of that. We know of other tax collectors whom Jesus saved, gladly giving away their riches to the poor, their kind of ill-gotten gain, paying it back fourfold, giving it away to the poor. There are no rules for doing things like that. That's what people do when they've experienced the mercy of God. Those who are forgiven much, love much. May that be so with us. May we produce the fruit of righteousness. May God work powerfully in us to produce the fruit of righteousness, following in Trevor's example to the very end. Amen.